You are listening to the Living Greater Podcast, and I am your host, Arn Allamond. Together, we are building a community of people helping others to live greater through fitness, nutrition, and health. Hey, everybody. Arn here. Welcome to the show. I am so excited about our guest today. I've been talking about part of the vision of the Living Greater Podcast is to be able to interview people from our community, friends, neighbors, everyday people, business owners, whatever, that are doing things in such a way that they're promoting this concept of living greater, around the areas of health, nutrition, fitness, and personal development. And, you know, when this whole thing started manifesting in my mind and this vision of what I wanted to do, what I wanted to share, the stories I wanted to tell, Ben was one of the first people that came into my mind. And I think in large part that arose in my mind just because of what I see in Ben as an observer, as a friend. Our story goes back to being in the same environment, but me actually looking to him and at him from a competitive standpoint, and sometimes kind of wondering, who is this guy, and why is he beating me? Why am I chasing him? Because I don't ever see him, and then there he is. Anyway, ton of fun though, and I'm so grateful that I have gotten to know him in some different capacities beyond just a competitor, because I'm truly an incredible person. So I want to introduce Ben really quick.
Hey, good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So we're going to center everything around or talk a little bit more specifically today about ultra endurance running. And that's one thing that, again, like I said, when I first met Ben, just kind of surprise and respect as a competitor. But then knowing him as a friend, all of a sudden I see him popping up and sharing things about ultra endurance running, and that wasn't something that I knew personally that he enjoyed or was even drawn to, but he was drawn to that apparently, and a lot of neat things happened as a result of that. So Ben, if we could just open up with that, maybe just a little background in history, wherever you want to go, that kind of leads into the start of that ultra thing, kind of why you went down that path.
I remember my first time running outside of like high school sports was in my second year of marriage on a treadmill. I put it on for 7 miles per hour, and my goal was to run a mile on it. And I was halfway through that mile suffering, and Jen walks upstairs, and she literally shouts out, "Go all out, Ben!" And I just—it was enough to break my conscience and my focus. And I like hopped off that thing, shut it down, and I was done running. But running ultra stuff really came out of coming from a mountain bike history, getting into cross country mountain biking, but then getting to a level where it took so much time to stay at that high level of fitness. We had our first child, and someone gave me a jogger. And that's when I first started the transition of staying in shape via running rather than biking. And I've always had something inside of me that had the question of how far can the human body go?
Yeah.
How fast? How much farther? What's my limit? There's been something in me really since I can remember that question. That I think really drove me from a casual runner of just being in shape to this idea of ultras and pushing past 13 and 26 milers.
Yeah. It's insane. Have you ever read the book Born to Run?
I own the book. And have read part of it.
Okay.
Yep.
I know for me personally, that changed my perspective on running. And was something that actually made it so that I can enjoy running. Because I didn't before. Yep. And it wasn't because anybody was yelling down at me. Yep. And that was encouragement.
That was encouragement. It shows you how much suffering
right
I was
there.
Doing.
Yeah. It's a treadmill.
It was a treadmill.
That's hilarious. And so, So the time involved in mountain biking, and that was kind of what, and then being able to make that transition to running was just the opportunity to be connected, because you could push, you can't really sidecar your kid or exactly. pull along the trails.
Hit the bumps and the little baby's neck doesn't like that.
They fly. So,
getting, just figuring out a way to, as seasons of life changed for us, how to maintain just a healthy lifestyle, which includes physical fitness for mm-hmm. sure. Mm-hmm. So there's always been a competitive nature in me. And once we moved to Boise, trail running was so much more accessible. I grew up in the cornfields of Indiana.
Yeah.
So trails were so much more accessible. And the community here is amazing to
totally
to work out with and exercise with and push ourselves with. I believe my first marathon was actually an ultra marathon. I went from running maybe Roby Creek, mm-hmm. yep, to trying out the Foothill Frenzy, and that was quite a different mindset, from as fast as you can to how fast can you go over a long period of time.
Right.
And I remember my first time doing Foothill Frenzy with a good friend, Steven, and I literally just let him lead me the whole way, and we ran probably 3/4 of it before he experienced some struggles, and then I just kind of took off and kept going and really pushed it at the end, and maybe finished in 5.5 hours in the top 15 maybe.
Okay. And is it a destination rate, the Foothill Frenzy, so you've got a distance, or are you going for a time? Does that make sense?
You are going for a time. Everyone's running the same route.
Gotcha.
Y'all start at the same time.
Okay.
And it's, you can see your competition, either you're in front of them or behind them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's multiple spots.
Yeah.
To size up where you're at in that.
Gotcha.
And there was something really fascinating about traveling that far on foot without the help. I mean, obviously mm-hmm. you're coasting downhill on a mountain bike or on a road bike and recovering, but there's no recovering unless you stop and at a sack stop and start fueling yourself up. Right. So it really fueled that question of how far can I go and how fit can I get? And of course, you know, I think I took a year off and then jumped back into that race with a little bit more experience and a little bit knowing the course better, and had a great day and was able to be in the lead of that race the entire time until the last mile and a half. And this fellow just chased me down. I remember him yelling, "Stop! Slow down!" And I knew that he was gonna pass me. I was pretty much done. He passed me. I didn't even try to catch him. I just tried to stay in second place at that point. But I was able to shave an hour off of that time from 2 years ago. Whether it was mental strength, knowing what to expect, or extra training, or whatever it was,
right?
That was quite an accomplishment.
Was that him yelling at you to stop and slow down?
Oh yeah,
he's like I've been just chasing trying to get you your head.
Yep. He was eyeballing me the whole time, and I saw him slowly creeping up closer. And when he got within earshot, he yelled at me and tried.
I love it. You're like, "No, man, I'm trying to go faster.
I'm done. I just wanted it to be over with."
Yeah. No, I remember you telling me that story, and I mean, that's, you know, seeing people's improvements, and obviously not all of us can have the opportunity to start at point A and then, you know, end up at point Z, where we start and we're in the middle of the pack or the back of the pack, and then, you know, a period of time later, we're the best. I mean, that does happen, but it's not all of us can do that, but we all can see those improvements. That's what's exciting, is that, like, in that time period with some focus and some intensity and training, like you said, different mm-hmm. perspective, maybe different strategies,
mm-hmm.
that success comes about. Would you say that before, like, okay, so you got the stroller, well, so you did the treadmill, you got off the treadmill, and I'm with you, that's like 2 minutes on a treadmill is too much,
right?
So seven, that's a lot, that's like almost four times too much, but it's epic. And then you got the stroller. So you've been mountain biking, then you got the stroller, started running and stuff. Would you have considered yourself a runner? I mean, did you say you ran in high school?
Only for conditioning, because I was a football player. So it was not, I wouldn't call it running. I wasn't cross country.
Gotcha.
I think I ran hurdles and track, but no, I would never. Sometimes I still don't even feel like a runner.
Yeah.
But I clearly run a lot. There's something, I felt like I was a mountain biker for sure. Highly competitive, racing every weekend. When we first moved to Boise, it was what ordered our calendar, honestly. Yeah. Vacations, yeah, ordered around mountain bike races.
See that.
But if this will switch gears a little bit, what began to happen was I realized the cost of maintaining this level of fitness, mm-hmm, and honestly, if I can just be vulnerable,
yeah,
this reputation of an elite athlete in Boise, the cost that it was, that my family was, mm-hmm, accruing, mm-hmm, that showed itself in having to have particular places for vacation,
yeah,
having to have particular times for vacation, really having to, I found myself choosing to ride with people that would only be better than me to push me.
Right. Yes,
so
yes.
I found it doing stuff inside of my heart and mind that I wouldn't have just naturally chosen to do. I remember at Jug Mountain Ranch, this was a turning point for me. Jug Mountain Ranch, mountain bike race. I can't remember how many years ago it was now, but I pointed at that race. That's going to be my race for the year. I'm going to win that race. And that was Cat 1. I wasn't pro. Uh-huh. There were Cat 1 racers and pro racers that were beating me. But coming from the Midwest with trees and rocks, sure, and roots, like that was the most tree, rocky, rooty, yeah, place that was around, yeah, here. So I gave it my all, similarly to the Foothill Frenzy. I was up in front, in second or third place most of the race. And then three quarters through, I took first place, mm-hmm, and I held that until, again, about a mile or two from the finish. And this fellow who hadn't been in the top three mix at all slowly works his way through. And I was turning myself inside out to keep that first place spot. He passed me. I finished the race and I about threw my guts up. I was so spent. I've never exerted myself harder in my life up to that point. And my family had been there for a while. It was a hot day. I went to the race director and I said, "Hey, it's a tough race. My family, we're about ready to leave. Should I stick around, for awards?" And he's like, "Absolutely. We're going to give out awards. You got second place, so stick around." I got up on the podium and been bigger staff, second place, been really turning it on these last few weeks. And he throws me a hat, a golf course logoed hat, and something hit me. And it was like a big life question. Should a mountain bike race be what I turn myself most inside out for? Mm. When I look over my life,
yeah,
and I realize I hadn't given myself that passionately and fully to anyone or anything, I didn't feel like up to that point. And so I started doing some internal thinking. What's worth giving my life for and turning myself inside out for? That's pretty much when I retired my hat. Of cycling and picked up running. Yeah. So that's how I really got into more endurance running.
Yeah.
It wasn't for the race. It was to maintain the fitness and to give space, because that takes a lot less time to stay fit, to give space to consider that question. What's worth turning myself inside out for?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Man, that's a huge, realization, visualization. It's ironic. I mean, the timing is amazing. I was sitting in the parking lot this morning and just checking through some messages, and I checked on Facebook, and the memory that came up, and I'm getting a lot of these lately, but the memory came up was of my oldest, and he's sitting there holding a little model, and I took the picture, but holding a little model, and it's our old dog, our old basset hound, and this was in my days of cycling as well, and it just... it hit me. Number one, how appreciative. Thank you, Facebook, for that.
Yeah, it was
how
fun.
Appreciative I was that that picture came back up and around.
Mm-hmm.
But then it also hit me that during that period of my life, how much time, especially this time of year, how much time I was putting into writing.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a similar, I guess, epiphany or transition as you did, that just a realization that for me, at least, I needed to find a different system, mm-hmm. a different way to achieve my goals.
Yep.
And so I look at that picture and I look at my boys now and how much I want to be there every second.
Mm.
And I look at those times and think of those chunks of time.
Yeah.
That I was off and couldn't be with them because mm-hmm. I was on my bike, you know,
yeah.
doing things like that. So that's mm-hmm. that's amazing. So you had that moment. Family's there.
Yep.
We drive home. You got a new hat on.
I threw the hat in the back seat. I was so upset.
I actually think my father-in-law has that logo of hat.
Yep.
Not for me getting second place or first place or anything like that, but that's awesome. And you guys headed home. So you started running. So from that point until that Foothill Frenzy day, mm-hmm. was that a couple years, I guess?
I think it probably was. Yeah, there was probably a Roby Creek kind of like, let's see what this is like. And
gotcha.
And then a year after that, a buddy of mine, more into ultra running,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't in it at all.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to sign up for the Frenzy. And thought, okay, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it wasn't really goal-oriented necessarily. It was more of, hey, let's, that same internal question, like, what are we capable of?
Yeah.
I realized after just transitioning to running that the motor was there,
yeah.
that the cardiovascular was there, some joints weren't there, some tendons weren't there, there's pains moving from ankles, and later it moved to the knees,
God,
and then to
yeah.
the hip flexors. It just moved around everywhere for a year and a half.
Glad you're bringing that up. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Just
I mean,
a matter
so
of...
you went through some transitions physically. Cause
oh yeah.
I envision that, and this is such a false belief because I think that a lot of people see this in others, but I envisioned with you that you just started running
seamless
and life was
transition.
Great and you looked like a gazelle the whole time and then you won the race. So
nope.
That's not the case.
No way.
Yes.
No. Nope.
So there's hope.
Yes, there's hope. It's like started changing shoes, figuring out, I knew the minimalist shoes were really popular. And so I started there and then foot pain would happen. So I bounced back up to thicker shoes.
Sure.
And work our way back down. Calves not being used to all that strain. So getting calf sleeves and compression stuff.
Yeah.
To hip flexors moved up to hip flexors, not feeling good. So get compression for hip flexors. And then over time, there's actually really subsided almost completely,
mm-hmm.
but it took about a year and a half for those pains to work the ways around my entire body.
Sure.
And then to get used to the new normal.
Okay, so here's the question there. You hurt, and if it's anything like hurt that I've felt when I've taken on something new,
mm-hmm.
it's not fun. So
yep.
what kept you going? I mean, a year and a half is a long time. Are there
yeah.
days that you maybe woke up or went out and thought, you know, I'm glad I'm running, I'm glad this is fitting in with my lifestyle, but if this is the way that I'm going to feel the rest of my life, did that ever cross your mind?
Oh, my wife will be cracking up at this. She always knows me as, if something hurts, I think it's going to last forever.
Like, you do?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
She just cracks up,
guy,
and this is
think.
Not going to last forever. So, yeah, I had to learn how, what kept me going was the feeling of being healthy. And so thankfully I didn't hang up my bike. I hanged up bike racing.
Mm-hmm.
And so when certain things from running would hurt, I would just pull out the bike and go,
gotcha.
And go get the exercise that way and give myself, learn how to rest.
Yeah.
Learn how to rest it.
Recovery.
And, but yeah, dealing with the mental frustration, it's a real thing.
Totally.
But figuring out ways to even being accepting the idea that a hike is actually good for me and helps me be a better runner or biker.
Yeah.
That was an epiphany.
I think a lot of us fall into that. I'm glad you, so many trinkets here, folks, if you're listening to this stuff, these are words of gold, that sometimes less is more.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we get into that mentality. I remember for me, there was a break point when I was riding a lot. And I can't remember if I was still doing some races then. But I realized that every time I went out from where I was at, you know, in the concrete jungle, I would go by the blocks and I would always measure my average speed,
yeah.
you know, and so over a mile, whatever. And I realize when I'm alive, I'm so tired all the time. It's because every time I'm going out, I'm trying to either match an average speed or something that I had perceived in my mind that needed to be. And, you know, it was just not right. And so I love that, the idea that you can go out and have a hike and that it could actually maybe propel you forward. I don't know how true it is. I've never researched it, but my dad told me about Roger Bannister when he broke the 4-minute mile. And that he'd been training, couldn't get it, 4:01, you know, 4 and some odd seconds, and just couldn't break through. And finally took like a weekend off or a week off from training, went camping, went hiking, you know, and that was what I remember, went hiking and came back and boom, nailed it. And it was just, you know, sometimes you've got to take a step back to take a step forward. But I think we lose sight of that we have to just drag ourselves off the floor for a workout to be right. And it doesn't have to be that way, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Just give myself permission that when life, that was tough too, when life circumstances prevent me from going out on my scheduled run or ride, just giving myself permission that, you know, maybe I needed a day off.
Yeah.
And just dealing with the head trash as well of that doesn't align with my plans was really difficult at first. But once I just figured out, you know what, in the long run, I'm going to be getting my workouts in. I'm going to be exercising. I've really shifted to, I want to live an active lifestyle.
Right.
And as long as I'm active, I'll know that I'm moving towards staying healthy and feeling good.
Yeah. I love it. So, okay. So we've moved on. You've taken on a new pastime for a variety of reasons. Mm-hmm. A new, I don't know if we call it a hobby, fitness regime, whatever. I want to say you won the Foothill Frenzy. I mean, it was like 7/8 of the race.
It was a win
right?
for me, but it wasn't.
It totally was.
Yeah.
Well, and that guy that ended up winning, I mean, he has something in the ultra world, right? I mean, he's pretty stubborn.
He had a number of those under his belt. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yep. That's awesome. Man, I love it. Stop running. No. So you hit that. So, I mean, what was the next step for you? Did that, and that's, okay, so transition, let's maybe compare and contrast. You had your mountain bike race. Mm-hmm. Sounds like that was probably one of your best performances at Jug Mountain, and so something to be very proud and you know of from a performance standpoint. Mm-hmm. And then now we're looking at this thing similar, both endurance, but now it's a totally different genre. You're running ultra running on top of that, and you're second place there.
Yep.
And after a very similar battle, right? So what? How was that podium trip? Did you get a hat?
That one was very fulfilling.
Okay.
That one was, for some reason, I had never actually thought about the fact that they were both second place finishes, but they definitely had different emotions tied to them. I was so proud and so thankful and enjoyed myself, though it was still turning myself inside out.
Mm-hmm.
It was a different experience because I think I was not looking to it to provide something that I was back in the cycling days.
Sure.
Back then, I really feel like there's a lot of identity and reputation tied to my performance. And between those two races, something had been settled and solidified that allowed me to more freely and enjoyably enter into competition. Mm-hmm. No matter how I finished, it wasn't going to change my identity. I wasn't vying for the reputation of an elite athlete anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I was really going for something more meaningful and powerful than that. I really wanted to be rooted in my identity as a child of God, as a husband, as a father, as a leader in my church.
Mm-hmm.
And so second place was nothing but celebration. Right. I was super pumped. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's awesome.
You know, and we mentioned this before we started recording, something that also shifted around those times was we started trying to discover how could we create events that really promoted what we love the most about athletics, which was community. We started wondering how could we leverage our love for running and biking for great needs in the world. We created this run called Boise to Bogus, where we would start at Camelsback Park and run trails all the way to Bogus. Ended up being right at a marathon.
Uh-huh.
There's no competition. There's no entry fee. It's fully self-supported. There's no awards at the end.
Yeah.
It's just let's start it and enjoy the journey getting there.
Yeah.
We started a run through the collective, the church I help lead, called TADA, Thanksgiving Day Dash for Adoption, Foster Care, and Family Reunification.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a run on Thanksgiving Day morning that leverages our left running and raises money to help support foster families, to help fund and support adoptions and adoptive mm-hmm. families, to help have funds to help reunify families who've been broken up for various reasons. So, again, like the search for the inner question of like, what's worth turning myself inside out for, began to affect in a positive way more people around me.
Right.
Then it was very self-focused before.
Yeah.
So now we have places for community, without competition necessarily, and blessing families who are engaging in really tough things like adoption and foster care.
Right.
That have come out of it.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. That's incredible. And how have you seen, I guess, in the TADA run specifically, what kind of growth? That community was something that I wanted to come around to a couple of minutes ago. I was thinking about that, but just looking at this community that you're building, like first time out with that event, how many people did the run with you?
That was on my front porch. That was the first time. And that was about 10 people on my front porch.
Okay.
And that was about 5 years ago, I think. And since then, man, the city has got behind it. Businesses, athletes, the Pulse has really partnered with us, running shop out of Meridian, and they've helped us take it to the next level. The city, Ridge to Rivers, has gotten behind it.
Okay.
And so now we usually host 200 to 300 people on Thanksgiving Day morning. And we do family style, short, stroller friendly option to a 4 mile option and to an 8 mile option. And we're raising around $10,000 last year.
Wow.
To just empower people to do what they have a heart for when it comes
mm-hmm.
to families.
Mm-hmm.
But many times finances are the biggest barrier.
Sure.
And support is the biggest barrier. So
sure.
Yeah, it's really grown over 5 years from 10 to 300.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing.
I mean, that's wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and uniting a community. I
mm-hmm.
mean, that's fabulous.
Oh, yeah.
I think sometimes we think, and not that this kid, I got to choose my words wisely. Sometimes we think that we have to have that celebrity status
mm-hmm.
to gain, at least I do, in order to gain momentum for causes and for amazing things. And I mean, there's so many different levels of celebrity, right? But it's amazing to me that just from humble beginnings, from this idea, that can grow. And I have no doubts that it's going to continue to grow. It's such an incredible piece. So when I first approached you about doing this podcast inviting you to be interviewed here, one of the things that I talked about or asked, and really the reason I thought about you, is because, I mean, you've already nailed so much of it, but it's like, I mean, you're a very passionate guy. It's like the things that you do well.
Mm.
You throw yourself into them with all that you are. You push the limits. You've talked about that. I mean, it makes me feel so good to know that you were sore.
You started, man.
Like I said,
yep.
Oh gosh. Because, anyway, I haven't been able to turn the corner on the running, but there's a little inkling in the back of my mind that push the body, push the limits and stretch yourself, see what you're capable of that I've wanted to do. And then at the same time, I go out and my arch hurts. And so, you know,
mm-hmm.
anyway, okay, maybe no excuses now. But that balance of finding, so you've got areas of your life that you have so much passion towards, and finding balance in those. And that's what spoke to me. And really the reason that I wanted you to be able to share. Mm-hmm. And I think you've hit so many things so far, but I'd like to kind of go in that direction right now. I mean, how do you find balance? I see now through the grams, you know, and the Facebooks, you and your wife Jen out on rides and runs, and you know, enjoying our area, you know, the foothills, all that stuff, enjoying each other. What would be some things that you would suggest, or how have you found that improved upon that in your life?
That's a great question. A couple things that come to mind are getting over the FOMO, getting over the fear of missing out, which I connect really closely to knowing my calling, knowing why I'm on the earth. In the Bible, there's a scripture Jesus says that our life is but a mist. It's here today and gone tomorrow. And that really resonates with me often, that in a blink of an eye, you know, Lord willing, we're grandparents, and we're looking back on what we've accomplished, and we'll ask ourselves, did it really matter? So I think that staying true to my calling and keeping that as a defining mark of my priorities helps me balance. And I definitely haven't done a spotless job, and I still struggle to keep them in line. I notice that they come out of line when my wife talks to me about, hey, I feel like we haven't connected lately, or my kids say, Dad, are you leaving again? You know, those are reminders that are my priorities straight. But I think that, I'm passionate about helping people know why they are on the earth, and that helps me say no to things that don't propel me towards that purpose.
Right.
So I know that God's called me to be really first and foremost a child of God. Next, He's called me to be an amazing husband and a faithful dad and a worship pastor. That's what I do with most of my time outside of family and recreation, is I steward a church called The Collective. I lead worship and lead teams and groups. And when I know what God's called me to do, if someone asks or there's an opportunity that looks amazing, that is going to pull away from those main things, it's so much more easier to say, thanks for the opportunity, but I'm going to decline.
Right.
And I probably do a lot less now, but what I do, like you mentioned, I was thinking about this today. I believe that we won't know the full benefit of something until we give it our all.
Right.
That comes from faith. I won't know the full, what's fully available in my relationship with God until I fully give myself to it.
Yeah.
I won't know how great of a husband I can be until I fully give myself to it. I won't know how great of a runner I will be until I fully give myself to it.
Yeah.
And I do think it's possible to find a balance of fully giving ourselves to our faith, our relationships, and our fitness. I think that they can work together.
Right.
We don't have to be abnormally extreme
right.
to feel like we're fully giving ourselves to it.
Yeah.
But that idea of, if a person can know why they're on the earth, it will make them much more empowered to make good decisions that keep their priorities in line.
Yeah, man. One of my favorite quotes, I'm having to pull it off the top of my head, it's like me telling jokes. I always miss the punchline. So with quotes. but it's along, and I'm going to paraphrase because I know I'm not going to hit it exactly right, but it's along the lines of, and I said it actually in my origin story podcast, I think it was episode 4 or 5, but don't ask what the world needs, because what the world needs is for people to come alive and go do that,
yep.
you know?
Yep.
And I think that you personify that in what you just said. I mean, that's what I heard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all have callings, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're an incredible, we haven't even talked about that, but you're an incredible guitarist and vocalist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got music that, you know, you're, what do you call that? Produced music that's produced, yeah, I mean, yeah, say
produced,
published.
Produced an album, yep.
Yeah, yep. So you've got to, that's a so. Whole other conversation, right? but beautiful, you know, and just incredibly talented that way. And it's like there, I think every one of us, when we really dig deep, mm-hmm. there are so many things that we're talented at. And sometimes maybe it's not the things that we want to be talented at.
Yeah, true.
But we've got those talents, and mm-hmm. it's like, gosh, if we can rest into those, and just settle into there, feel that, you know, feel the stress and the pull, and mm-hmm. and then expand on that. It's mm-hmm. like, if you're good at it or you're called to it, mm-hmm. somebody else is going to be touched by that.
Oh yeah.
Somebody else is going to be able to grow by that in mm-hmm. some way. Yeah. And man, I think I believe fully that that's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. I think it's well.
Yeah. There's a great quote, Frederick Buchner says that our calling is where our greatest joy meets the world's greatest needs. Hmm. And that again communicates part of the piece I think is easy to miss maybe in our younger years, is that we usually try to think about calling as what gives me the most joy.
Yeah.
And it becomes very self-serving. But as I've gotten older, the question continues to resonate of, how can I take what I'm good at and do the most good with it? How can I impact for the good the most right. people
right.
With my music, with my time, with my athletics, with my influence?
Yeah.
And it's really, I think, as we get in our later years of life, that that's what we're going to care about, yeah. is what really lasting mark do we leave on the earth? Mm-hmm. What I say to our church often is, we want to leave the earth looking more like heaven when we're done with it.
Right.
Like that's a mantra that we say a lot. And I want to set an example for my kids when it comes to life and faith that raises the bar lots mm-hmm. higher for them. Not yeah. that they have to jump over, but they get to start from.
Yeah.
And that makes me have to take my greatest joys and meet those needs
yeah.
with it. It's, yeah, it's exciting
it
to
is.
Do that. It's yeah. much more exciting, and I think that's what I found myself in that place, going back to that Foothill Frenzy. I was in that place, so when I experienced what some might see as a disappointment of not winning, like, it wasn't about identity, it wasn't about me. It was just about enjoying what these legs that God gave me in this beautiful city and the
right.
experience. And it was, is much more appropriately placed in my heart and mind at
right.
that point. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. there's so many pieces. This is to be determined, to be followed up on. These
oh,
are,
awesome.
These are some great things, man. So what does a typical week look like for you now, from a training perspective? Let's run back there mm-hmm. for a second. Like, if we're looking at, you're balancing, you know, faith, family, you know, fitness,
mm-hmm.
What does a typical week look like for you so that you do fit that in?
Yep.
And are there any things that you try to employ to make sure that you do fit those in?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's changed over time based on some of those different goals.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, I pinpointed a kind of a gravel grinder, Rebecca's Private Idaho.
Yeah.
I highlighted that. Really, what I'm highlighting these days that keep me motivated are adventure
sure.
athletics. So whether it's Boise to Bogus or an adventure ride like Rebecca's mm-hmm. Private Idaho, or this year I'm thinking about the McCall Classic, 40-mile trail run around mm-hmm. Jug Mountain.
Again. Yeah.
Those really help me determine what I'm going to do and when I'm going to do it. I'm not really that hard on myself anymore, though, because it's more about the experience and the joy of it than my results.
Sure.
But now, I just, if I can get 5 days of activity in, that's really what I'm going for. I actually need to do better Because I found that if I can exercise at 6 a.m. to 7 or 7:30, that sets me up for the prime family time, work time.
Sure.
So in general, it's 5 days a week. And that could be a hike, a bike, a run. I'm not CrossFitting it yet like you are. We'll but it's becoming more and more appealing as I think about how time seems to be getting less and less.
Well, then I need a test subject. I want to see, no joke.
You
want
to see how an endurance athlete
I know what I CrossFit. Think as I see people suffering going up and down the dump loop as I'm driving by in my car and haven't ridden it in 3 years now.
Uh-huh.
But part of me wants to go out and test it. I want to get on a bike and uh-huh. and do a loop so it's legit, you know,
yeah.
and come back around and hit it the second or third time
yep.
and just see if in my mind, because I want to see how the transition yeah. plays in. You
totally.
Know? I mean, that's, anyway.
It's intriguing.
Cut yeah. in, but yeah, it is intriguing.
Yeah. But I'm probably not too different than lots of people. I try to do one long run.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of started this year thinking, what would it be like if I just did a half marathon a week? Just worked in a 13.1 miler at some point each week, and I'm probably about 50 to 60% on that so far. But I'll get in an hour to hour and a half average run 5 days a week
okay.
and get a long one in at
yeah.
some point. Taking the kids to school, dropping them off, picking them up, watching. Oh, what are we watching these days? We're watching This Is Us. That's a staple in
yeah.
our house.
Have
you seen it?
No.
You
no.
go. Everybody's got to watch it. It's so beautiful.
Look at it. I'll write it down
us.
Here.
It
okay.
is. It's going to be a classic. Lots of fellowship with our church activities, mm-hmm. band practices. I'm helped lead a mountain bike club from Noah's school at
right.
Longfellow, the Longfellow Intergalactic Mountain Bike Squad.
I love the name.
So today
I'm
leading an hour and a half loop with probably a group of five or six kids,
wow.
taking my daughter to dance classes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just living the life and being out there, putting
yeah,
yourself
just
out
being
there.
Active, staying yeah. focused, saying, honestly, that I didn't know what the word FOMO meant until like 2 years ago. I got a text and someone said FOMO.
Yeah.
And I realized that's
yeah.
such a big thing. Yeah. There's
right.
so much fear of missing out. And
totally.
And then I saw some Instagram thing that said JOMO, J-O-M-O, the joy of missing out. Like, it feels so okay.
That's
and
like
it feels
glass
so,
half empty, glass half full
yeah,
kind of way.
So
yeah.
joyful, like just being in my lane and
yeah.
like knowing that I know who I am, what I'm supposed to do. And just dialing it in.
And I think so much of that comes with maturity, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like we could figure that piece out sooner.
Yeah.
That wisdom piece, I guess. I don't know. Holy smokes, how much more fun would it be?
Mm-hmm.
The community that you found in running
yeah.
on those activities that you're doing, you know, your runs during the week. How often are you running alone versus running with somebody?
Most of the time I'm still running by myself.
Still running by yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
With my job, it's not a 9-to-5. I also often have late night meetings and weird, you know, I'm a Sunday to Thursday kind of work week with Fridays
mm-hmm.
and Saturdays off.
Sure.
So most of my runs are at weird times, like
yeah.
9 o'clock to 10 a.m. And then I fit in my day with a late night band practice
yeah.
type thing. But I have gotten to a point where I'd much prefer to ride or run with other people, no matter what their skill level
yeah.
or their athletic, you know, endurance level.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so much more, there's a connection factor
yeah.
that I missed for so many years.
Yeah.
So I often send texts, but often people, based on the time that I'm planning on going, are not able to go. Yeah.
I love that. I touched on that the other day. It was a thought and a feeling. And I know when I was in my more competitive phase of
mm-hmm.
life, part of my drive was wanting to win
mm-hmm.
and wanting to quote unquote be the best at whatever level that was at
yep.
that I was at.
Yep.
But within that, there was a selfishness that I didn't want to, at some level, share that experience with somebody
mm-hmm.
else.
Yeah.
And I don't really know what it was other than just this ultra competitive desire.
Yeah.
And even if we were together, there's this like boom, 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 you know, nudge forward, nudge forward, nudge forward. In my mind, I'm constantly like, oh, they're overlapping me. You know, I got to go, all this stuff, whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful to say I'm not there now. I would agree personally with some of the stuff that you just said, that I prefer to work out with people.
Yeah.
And that hit me this morning even. I was sitting there, I'm on spring break right now, and we've got a gym in our garage, and so I just told Nick, I was like, hey, I'm going to probably just work out the garage today, you know? And like 5 minutes later, I'm like, who am I kidding? I'm going to go to the gym at 9:30 because I'm not going to get it in, you know? Yeah. And I knew I wouldn't.
Yep.
So having people there for me at least serves as a motivator right now. But I also love, that's one thing I found with the community and what I'm doing right now, is that they are, they're fun.
Yep.
We joke with each other. There's competitiveness there, mm-hmm. but it's like your best friends, you know?
Yep.
I mean, it truly, they've filled a real neat need in my life. At this point that I haven't had athletically probably since high school athletics.
Okay.
Which is neat.
Yep.
I don't know
totally.
If it's something you can relate to, but
yep.
Love it. Yeah. Well, dude, I love hearing your perspectives. Like I said, there's so many fun things. It's like kind of got a thing we want to talk about, but there's so much great stuff in there.
Oh,
and
thanks.
It's just a ton of fun. I mean, it's neat to be able to find and see people and friends that that you match up with in different ways. And I think some of that is also looking at things that people do that you want to do better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that, you know, when I'm looking, when I connect with friends, I think that's a big part of it at this point in my life, is I'm
mm-hmm.
looking at, you know, I think that's what attracts me to people, is it's like, oh, that's freaking awesome. I need to learn more about how they do that.
Yeah.
You know, I want to become a better person.
So
one of the things that I want to do in wrapping up, kind of put you on the spot here
mm-hmm.
a little bit, you've already given us a number of ways, but if you could maybe consolidate everything that we've talked about in the last 45 minutes, what would be just a nice, put it all into one little package
mm-hmm.
of how someone could apply this idea or this concept of living greater. I mean, that's why I'm here doing what I'm doing right
mm-hmm.
now, is just trying to share inspirational stories and of people that are out there doing it in different ways. And
yeah.
in large part, what I'm finding is the unsung heroes, people that don't always realize the impact that they're making in other
yeah.
people's lives. But you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so, what would you have to say
mm-hmm.
if you were just to put it all into one little package that will be saved forever on,
oh man,
of, living greater.
Yep. That's a great question. I thought maybe like something that Stephen Covey wrote in the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People is to begin with the end in mind. Might be a summarizing statement to whether we're thinking about living greater when it comes to our family life or our physical life or our spiritual life, is to think about the end of our life, looking back.
Mm-hmm.
What will we be most proud of? What will actually matter that the most to us? And then figuring out how is our life aligning with that now, or needs realigned.
Hmm.
You know, the Bible uses the phrase, the only thing, I love when the scriptures make things so simple, because life feels so complicated
mm-hmm.
sometimes and so confusing. But there's simple statements like, the only thing that matters is faith expressing itself through love.
Hmm.
And I love the idea of asking, how is what I'm doing communicating real love to the world around me, making a real loving difference to people around me?
Yeah.
And I think at the end of my life, in most of our lives, we'll look back and be most fulfilled by noticing that our life was, we maximized our life in love for people around us.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love it. It's
yeah,
good.
Man. Yeah.
That's
thanks,
good.
Man.
I think that's a plan that you can build a life around
mm-hmm.
for sure. Dude, thank you so much.
Man, thanks for asking.
This is absolutely, absolutely. Now, in the show notes, is there a live link to Tada? I
yeah,
know that's
be
Thanksgiving.
TadaBoise.com.
Okay. So I'll go ahead. I will put that in the show notes
mm-hmm.
As well as. If you want to hear, I mean, we can even tag in your album.
From the album, yeah.
Piece and stuff like that. Yeah, if you guys want to tie in and hear what Ben has going there, it's fabulous. So super talented dude. So anyway, thank you so much, my friend.
You bet.
I appreciate it.
Anytime.
And thank you, everybody. Tune in again for our next episode. So grateful that you're here. And until we get an opportunity, keep doing what you do, and the things that you love, don't stop doing them, because somebody's watching, and I guarantee you, you're making a difference. There's people finding inspiration in those little things that you're doing every step of the way. So thank you for living greater. We will talk to you soon.